Wow, thank you, thank you, thank you. Why don't you give Jesus a big hand this morning just because you love him? I just want to say back how much I love and appreciate and honor this house. It's always a joy to be here, and Merle and Sue and their family have such a special place in our hearts, and all of the leadership team here has such a special place in our hearts, and every time we come, God does great things in our lives, so it's an honor to be with you and to see our partnership increase over the years. And this year, we had a team from here and a team from our church and our network that combined and went to Prague to help the Martins, and our half of the team was led by Alex. So would you just greet Alex and tell him hello? I used to bring Alex here 14, 15 years ago when he was single, and I tried to find him a wife, and nobody in Harrisonburg would marry him. So I took him all over. I took him to India, to Africa, to Vietnam. I took him to England, to Ireland. I'm everywhere. Finally, I found a girl in Florida that would say yes. And 10 years ago, they got married, and they have 4 kids under the age of 8. Once they got going, they got going. And so they just had their 4th baby, JoJo Glory. And she is a treasure. So Alex doesn't get to go with me as often, but he said, if you're going to Harrisonburg and Gordon's going to be there, then I have to go. And so he bumped Cody and took his place. And so Alex is here. So it's great to come and be with you this weekend. I believe I have a prophetic word for this house, and I'm going to unpack half of it this morning and the second half tonight. Is that okay? I mean, I hope it is, because that's all I got. I really wrestled, because I had 2 or 3 other things that I wanted to do, and God just kept bringing me back to this and bringing me back to this. And many of you know that every year the Lord gives me a word for the year, and so we're ending the end of the year, and actually we have the word for next year and what I believe the Lord is saying next year. So, and I'm not giving you that one yet. Because I'd have to kill you if I did that, you know, as the old saying goes. But I thought, you know, it's toward the end of the year, and then silly me realized that words that God gives us are for seasons, and they build one upon the other. So on December 31st, what I'm about to speak to you doesn't go away. And on January 1st, God says, forget everything I said before, now it's this. But actually, it builds line upon line, if you will, precept upon precept, word upon word. And so I believe that there's still this season that we're in. And after preaching it in the first service, I felt it even stronger, because I think it has specific application to this house. And I believe it is not an accident that the children are in, because for one thing, I'm loud and crazy, so hopefully they won't fall asleep or get too bored, even if they don't understand what I'm saying. But I believe this is a word for this house from the cradle, from infancy all the way through. And so are you ready? Let me ask that again. Are you ready? All right. Now listen, I preach better if you talk back to me. Okay, and this morning we already had somebody wave their hanky and run around the building. That was a sign and a wonder. So the bar is pretty high, second service. I mean, it's up there. So I'm expecting you to, you know, be with me, make me feel at home, humor me. Even if I'm not funny, laugh. Because I'll preach faster. The more you respond, the faster I preach. If you sit there and say nothing, we're going to be here a while. Because I got to keep digging until I hit a gusher. All right. There we go. Somebody said, shout, please. I'm hungry. Psalms 84, verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah. So there's a blessing when you dwell in God's house. Are there any house dwellers today? Not just visitors to the house, but dwellers of the house. People that camp out in the house of God. People that are a part and involved. And I believe that if you're here on a rainy Sunday morning in Virginia, you're a house dweller. But then in verse 5, it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Literally, that's whose strength to him is in him, because the strength that's to you is in you. So greater is he that's in you than he that's around you. So the strength of God is not external, it's internal. That's going to hit you on Tuesday. And whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now, wait a minute. This makes no sense. He says, blessed is a man who's dwelling in the house. So blessed is a man who's living and dwelling. Then he says, blessed is a man whose heart is set on a journey. Which one is it? Is it, am I blessed when I dwell, or am I blessed when I go? Yes. Because we understand the dwelling is in the house of God. The journey is with the family of God. So the people of God are always on the move. So there's a double blessing when I journey over a long period of time with the people of God. And I just want to say, if you've been in this church 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, all your life since you were born, whatever it is, I want to commend you, because I know it's not always been easy, and I know that you've wanted to quit, and I know that once Merle made you mad, only one time. Sue never made you mad, but Merle, I know. Somebody sat in your chair, somebody parked in your space, somebody got in your face, something happened, but you stuck with it, and I'm here to tell you there's a double blessing for journeying and sticking with it at the same time. So give yourselves a big hand if you've been around here for a little while. It says in verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now in Hebrew, again, we would read this, they go from strength to strength to strength to weakness to strength. No. In Hebrew, it's more like this. It's add-on strength. It's like reinforcements in Risk. Anybody ever played Risk? Okay. I've come to the right place then. And it's more like you were weak, but then you go from strength to strength to strength to strength to strength. And the more we journey together, the stronger we get. Because I can do anything through who gives me. You notice it doesn't say Jesus. It doesn't say I can do anything through Jesus who gives me strength, because Jesus is not the only way to do anything. Some of you say, wait a minute, what are you preaching here? The Word. See, contrary to popular belief, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It wasn't Mary and Joseph Christ. James's last name was not Christ. Nor was Jesus. Christ was not Jesus' last name. Christ was his function, the anointed one and his anointing. But the anointing is a compound. It's made of many spices that were put together by the art of the apothecary, if you read the King James, or the chemist if you're British, or the pharmacist if you're American. But it's put together. You add spice to the anointing, and when the anointing, you add spice to life. And when you come together, the anointing comes together, and we have Jesus is the head. We corporately are the body, but you put us together. We're one corporate man, Christ. So he says, when we journey together in the body with Jesus as the head and us as the body, the anointed one in his anointing takes us from strength to strength to strength, from glory to glory to glory, from faith to faith to faith. Amen. And he says, then each one appears before God in Zion. You notice he starts individual, blessed is he. Then he says, they, corporate. Then in this verse, he says, they go from strength to strength, each one appearing before God in Zion. So it's individual and corporate at the same time. So this journey is about me individually, but it's about something greater than me corporately, because there's no individual destiny outside of corporate destiny, but there's no corporate destiny without individuals. So every part doing their part, they appear before God in Zion. What is Zion? It's the city of God, but for us, it's the church. So there's a journey in the church, but it's always upward. There's a call of ascent. Anytime you look, especially in the Old Testament, the journey of the people of God was higher. You see it in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established upon the top of all mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Now if God's house is on a mountain that's on top of mountains, how do nations flow to it? Because that would mean nations would flow up. How do things flow up? I thought things flowed down. Well, they flow up because things in the kingdom are upside down. That's going to hit you on Tuesday as well. Verse 3, many people shall come and say, let us go up the mountain of the Lord to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It says, many people shall say, let's go up. Turn to your neighbor and say, come on, let's go up. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, we're going up. We're going higher. We're in a season to go up. We're in a season to go higher. Or you could say it this way, we're in a season to shift. For those of us who are over 40, we remember stick shift transmissions. If you're a millennial that can drive a stick shift, you're a unicorn. I made my son learn how to drive a stick because I did not want him to be deficient in this area. But many of us can't. But if you remember, or in your automatic transmission, you don't realize what's happening, but you're in first gear, you go about 10, 15 miles an hour, and you shift. Then you go to second gear, you go about 10, 15 miles an hour, and then you're in third gear, and you go about 10, 15 miles an hour, and then you, every time you're going higher. But there is a limit to what you can go to in that gear until you hit overdrive. And at that point, you have one final shift, and that shift allows you to get maximum performance out of the vehicle you're in. Then if you want to go any faster, you got to trade that Ford for a Lamborghini. And then you start shifting again. So you say, what are you trying to say, Dwayne? I'm trying to tell you this, shift happens. I said shift. Shift. Put the F in there. If you're tweeting me, don't leave the F out. I'll get in trouble. I'll get nasty tweets back. I can get myself in enough trouble. Children, if you're in here, I'm saying shift happens. But I believe there's a major shift happening in this church. And I believe that you've gone from level to level. You've gone from gear to gear. But God says this time, even in the next few months, there's going to be a shift. And when you make this shift, you're going to go into overdrive, and you're going to begin to get maximum performance out of the vehicle I've given you. That's corporate, but that's individual for some people as well. You're going to go to a new gear in your finances. You're going to go to a new gear in healing. Let me try that again. I said you're going to go to a new gear in healing. You're going to go to a new gear in salvations. See, you've done everything you can do at this level. It's time to go up higher. Now, I don't know if we have our mountain picture. I have a picture, I think, of a mountain. There it is. That's the Matterhorn. If you were going to climb that mountain, you wouldn't go straight up it. You would have to either zigzag or you would go around it to ascend to the top of it. Now, for those of you that haven't been on the platform, right here says, speakers, do not pass this tape. And then over here, they put this up here just for me. They take it away when I'm not here, and then they put it back. Because Merle's never going to go over this line. Speakers, do, and it says in all caps, do not. So you do not pass this tape. I'm pretty sure Sarah did this. And it'll be gone next week. Watch, come up here and look. It'll be gone because nobody else crosses the line. But anyway, forget it. Is it okay that I went across the tape? Listen, I'm going to preach to somebody. You need to quit staying inside the lines. You need to learn how to color outside the lines. And people might be trying to box you in and say, stay up here. But sometimes you just got to come off the stage. You got to cross the tape. You got to do something you ain't never done before, even if you ain't got permission. I got permission from Jesus and Merle. Anyway. But you're going around a mountain and you feel like, that's not in my sermon. It's just, I love doing it. You feel like as you go around the mountain, you're not going anywhere. You just think, I've been going to church for years. I'm just going around this mountain. Going around the mountain. Some of you say, I'm getting bored of you walking in a circle. I know, I'm trying to make the point. But what you don't realize is every time you went around the mountain, you went higher. And then you went around again and you went higher. And you went around again and you went higher. And you went around again and you went higher. And you went around again and you went higher. And you've been ascending because the call of God is always upward. See, you've been discouraged because you're not where you thought you would be. But for 10 seconds, can you look back down and see that you're not where you used to be? When you keep going up and you reach the summit, then what? When you climb and you climb and you climb and you climb and you climb, you're finally going to get to a summit. When you reach the summit, where do you go? There's only one place to go. And that's over the top. And that's my word for you, Grace Covenant, in Harrisonburg, Virginia. It's time to go over the top. I said it's time to go over the top. When you go over the top, you get a new perspective. You get new horizons, new possibilities. And I heard God say, you've been climbing. And you've been climbing, and you've been climbing. Now go over the top. You're at a tipping point. I heard this prophetically this morning. You're at a tipping point, and some of you could go back down that mountain. Don't do it. God sent a crazy Texan to tell you you're almost there. It's further back down than it is to go over. You stepped in. And you stepped up and you stepped out. Now it's time to step over. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, I'm going over the top. Now what happens when you go over the top? Well, when you go over the top, your ceiling becomes your floor. So let's switch from a mountain metaphor to this building or any building. If I was going to go on top of the building, once I get on top of the building, this ceiling that is limiting me now becomes my foundation to walk on. So I've come to prophesy to you, what has limited you in your past will be the very foundations you walk on in your future. So the most healings you used to have will be the least number of healings you have now. The most salvations you ever had will be an everyday occurrence when you step over. The most you ever made could be the least you ever make. See, when you go over the top, it's outrageous. It's extravagant. It's not normal. It's not reasonable. It's not acceptable. I was going to prophesy this in England, and I thought, Lord, they're not going to like this. Because Brits don't like over the top. They don't like that phrase even. They usually say it in a negative connotation, and it's usually about Americans. It's a bit OTT, don't you think? That's what they call over the top, OTT. It's a bit over the top, don't you think? You can't do that. It's over the top. Stop it. Stop it. And so I thought, why do they hate this phrase? Actually, I said, Lord, you know, I got to get another word for England. Because they're not going to like it. He said, I didn't ask you if they like it. I just told you to preach it. I said, okay. But I thought, why do they not like it? And I was doing some research. I had a British guy come and talk to me about it. And I did some more research. And my wife did as well. And we found this out, that the phrase comes from the World War. When they were fighting Nazi Germany. The enemy was bearing down on them as troops were on the front lines in their foxholes and in the trenches. It's one of the only times in recorded history that men were under such pressure that they sweat blood like bullets, like Jesus at Gethsemane. And under that intense pressure, where the only safe thing to do is stay side by side in this bunker, because to get out is sure death. The enemy has you outnumbered, he has you outgunned, he has you outmanned, everything is against you, and if you just stay in the bunker, you might live. And the commanding officer would come into the bunker and he'd say, boys, we're going over the top. We're getting out of this bunker and we're going to go face the enemy. And as I read that, I realized General Jesus is coming into the bunker of the American church. And he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, soldiers in the army of God, get out of the bunker. It's time to go over the top. It's time to get out of what's normal, what's reasonable, and what's acceptable American Christianity. It's time to stop playing it safe. It's time to stop being afraid. It's time to start wondering, well, what will happen? It's time to get over the disappointment of yesterday, what could have been, what should have been, and what ought to have been. And it's time to face the enemy. The thing is, Jesus has already won the victory. If those troops had not been willing to get out of the bunker and go over the top, Brits would be speaking German today. I believe that there's a call of God for us to go beyond what we've ever done before. This phrase was actually a heroic phrase because those who went over the top won the war. But over time, it got a negative connotation. And that's why Brits don't like it today. It's we're Brits. We're reserved. We don't act like this. We don't act like these crazy Americans who are loud and obnoxious. We're reserved. Over the top is negative. There's a movement in America, inside and outside the church, if called minimalism. If you're a minimalist, I'm going to give you an opportunity to forgive me. Because I'm going to offend you. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be offended. The Bible says many will be offended. But get over it. I actually, some of my dear friends are minimalists. Don't get mad. I'm winding you up a little bit. But I am making. I understand we have too many things, and we ought to get rid of a bunch of stuff. Okay, I clarified it. Now let me say this: the whole minimalist idea is, you know, less is more. So you have two pair of pants, one black, one brown, two shirts, one black, one brown. You don't have to worry about color coordinating. You know, everything's, well, see here, I'm a minimalist. I got black, brown, that's all I got. Tiny houses, what's that about? I'm 6'3". God did not build me for a tiny house. As a matter of fact, to break the spirit of minimalism, all my kids are leaving. You know, they're in their 20s, they're leaving. We're almost empty nesters. We're trying very hard. They're leaving. The thing is, actually, they've all left, but they come back. They leave and come back. But we have less in our house than ever, and I bought the biggest house I've ever owned. Why? So Chris could chase me around it. Now that they're all gone. And I'm talking in code with the children in the room. Never mind. Merle told me to stay inside the line, so now I have to be obedient. I'll be rebellious against Sarah, but not Merle. But the idea, something in me just began to realize that God's not a minimalist. What we call precious, he calls dirt. We call gold precious, he walks on streets made of it. We call pearls precious, he hangs them on gates. He's not a minimalist. Jesus, the cross was not minimalistic. Jesus didn't say, well, could I just drop 3 drops of blood? No, he bled it all. He didn't say, could I take 3 stripes? No, he took all 39, which covers every category of disease. So he healed all of our diseases. He didn't say, can I have a near-death experience? He just went ahead and died. And I believe that God is calling for some people who will understand that Galatians 2:20 says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but I, the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You ought to not have a near-death experience. You ought to die to yourself and live big. The cross was over the top. The cross, grace is outrageous. It's scandalous. It's not reasonable. So you can have 2 pairs of shoes and 2 pairs of pants and 2 shirts, but live life spiritually, not as a minimalist. I believe that God provided some over the top grace, and it's time for us to respond with some over-the-top faith. So who's ready to go over the top? I said, who's ready to go over the top? Well, what areas are we going to go over the top with? Well, we could start with over-the-top praise. Some over-the-top praise. See, now for some people, you know, you used to be a plank praiser. And then you got set free and you're a half-hand praiser. Then you really got crazy and you turned into the helicopter praise. Maybe you ought to go over the top and just go whole hands in the air. Just expose those armpits. It's okay. Sweat and all. I'm not talking about a charismatic two-step. I'm talking about some crazy praise where you're like David, who danced himself into his draws. And Michael said a king should not dance like that. But in making fun of David, she became a barren queen. And I'll tell you one thing, I'd rather be a dancing, foolish king than a barren queen. I believe that there are some people that say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to give God some crazy praise. Somebody ought to praise God for 10 seconds like you mean it. Come on, about 5 more seconds. Is there anybody that says, I'll give God? Hallelujah. All right, sit down. You're getting crazy. Can't act like this in church. My goodness. How about over-the-top preaching? Some of you say, well, isn't that what we've been experiencing? No, you hadn't seen nothing yet. I'm tired of 3 hymns, 2 hers, 3 points, a poem, and a prayer. Paul talked about the foolishness of preaching. Some of you say, well, you're preaching pretty foolish. Good, I'm getting it right. But I believe that it's time to dare to believe God for outrageous signs and wonders. How about over-the-top healings? Come on. I'm ready for blind eyes to open. I'm ready for deaf ears to hear. I'm ready for the lame to walk. And not just in India. Not just in Africa, but God's no respecter of persons. So if he can, the same grace that pops eyes open in India can pop eyes open in. The same God, the same grace that heals AIDS and cancer in Kenya can do it right here. But I believe it's going to take some people with some crazy faith. How about over-the-top serving? And 2 of the pastors on the front row said yes. It's the only 2 amens I got. See, if you've never served, what if you signed up to serve once a month? Every month. And if you serve once a month, what if you went twice? Or, dare I say, yea, verily, shalt thou go not twice, but thrice shalt thou serve in the houseth of Godeth. I got to sit down. Or, I'm so glad I'm not on crutches this year. Last year I was on crutches. What if I served every week? Oh, gosh. Stop it. Just stop it. You're making me tired. Just your preaching is so stupid. Just stop saying things like that. Oh, my goodness. Merle, send this guy back to Texas. I believe the mark of this house is going to be over-the-top service. How about over-the-top evangelism where everybody tells somebody about Jesus every week? Hallelujah. Here's my last one, and I'm going to be done. Worship team, you can come and give everyone hope. See, when they come to the platform, you think, whew, he's almost done. I see that hand, Jess. Thank you. God bless you, young man. How about, we could go on, but I just got one more. How about over-the-top giving? Let me try that again. How about over-the-top generosity? Where, remember, our ceiling becomes our floor. So the most we ever gave becomes the least we give. See, used to, if I gave a 20 in an offering, that's a big deal. But I kept stretching my faith and changed from 20s to 50s and 50s to hundreds and hundreds to thousands and thousands to tens of thousands. You say, are you bragging? Absolutely, I'm bragging on Jesus. Because I'm a hair-lit boy from Decatur, Texas, who's never supposed to have a quarter. I was raised by a single mom. I had to help pay our rent, our house payment when I was 15, 16. Because my mom was about to get her house repossessed. I made a truck payment on a truck I couldn't legally drive. But I determined by the grace of God, I wanted to be a giver. And see, sometimes in life, you got to change denominations. Not from Baptist to Methodist, but from 20s to 50s. From 50s to 100s. Where you stretch out and say, I'm gonna give a bit more. I turned 50 this year. The thing about turning 50 is it stinks. Because you wake up and you realize you have more history than you do destiny. You have more time behind you than ahead of you. And you want to start playing it safe. But this year, 2 years ago when we got a building, God told us to give the largest offering we'd ever given. And we did. We added a zero on the left side of the decimal. Come on, you can add all the zeros you want on the right side of the decimal. It don't make no difference. You start adding them on the left side, you start feeling it. And then this year, we prayed about our over and above our regular tithes and offerings to give toward the expansion of our auditorium. And God gave me a figure, he gave Chris a figure, and it matched our previous gift, the largest previous gift we'd ever given. So I said, great, we're going to match it. And I thought that was a step of faith because really I was going to dial it back a notch because we had stretched so big. And so I said, okay, praise the Lord. Then I was taking a shower and God said, you got it wrong. I said, what do you mean we got it wrong? He said, you got the number wrong. I said, God, don't you remember how this works? I pray and I get a number. Chris prays, she gets a number. Whoever gets the biggest number, we use that one because the other one didn't hear God. You think I'm kidding? That's really how we live life. And we don't get mad about it. Doesn't matter whose number is bigger. But when you get the same number, you think, wow, we both heard God. So I said, God, we got it right. He said, no, you got it wrong. I said, inform me, I'm confused. He said, I gave you a number, you heard. I gave her a number, she heard. But this time, it's not for you as a couple. That was your individual number. I want you to add it together, thus doubling the biggest thing you've ever given. And I said, get thee behind me, Satan. No, I actually began to weep. I came out of the shower and I told Chris, and she said, let's do it. I love being married to a woman that always says yes to Jesus. You know, here's the thing I understand. We get confused. We think of Ecclesiastes talks about seed, time, and harvest. So we think we sow a seed and then we live through time. And we give God time to create a harvest. But that's not how it works. Because God always begins with the end. Let me try that again. I said, God always begins with the end. So grace finishes something in the spirit, and my faith activates it in the... So come up here, Alex. Come up here real quick. Come up here. So see, I tend to think I sow a seed, and God is holding this harvest over here, and I sow my seed, and then I come to meet my harvest, because I think I began God's process at my sowing, and then it's completed at my reaping. But God sees the end from the beginning, so God has it in a little bit different viewpoint than mine. God begins with his harvest, and he sees it that way, and it's coming to here. And so I think I'm sowing, coming to meet my harvest, going this way. But actually, God has a harvest, and my harvest is coming to me, waiting for me to sow. So at the moment I sow, I'm not beginning God's process in my life, I'm finishing it. No, you didn't get that. He just taken that. He said, praise the Lord, there's my harvest right there. Thank you, Jesus. I've been believing for $200. Let me see that $200. Somebody in here gave in the offering earlier, and it was hard for you to give. You need a financial miracle. Whoever you are, get up here right now as fast as you can. First person up here, come quickly. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. God bless you. See, his seed didn't start a process. It finished it. My prayers don't get God to move. It just brings into this reality. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on, as it is in. It's already done. So when I go over the top with my faith, I'm not believing for God to do something that he's not already done. I'm manifesting by my faith. I'm believing for him to manifest on earth what has already been done in heaven. So listen, my time is gone, but I want to ask you, Grace Covenant Church, is there anybody in this house that says, we are ready, I am ready, we are ready to go over the top? Whether it's giving or serving or praising or healing or evangelism or whatever area. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray over you. I want you to lift your hands in the air. Don't just stand because it's the end of the meeting. Don't just stand because somebody else stood. But if you really say, I want to go over the top, I'm willing, whatever that means, God, I don't know what's next. That's actually what I'm preaching tonight, what's next. I don't know what's next. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know what it'll look like. But God, you see me standing here with my hands raised and my heart abandoned to you. God, you see these hands. If we really mean this, look out, Harrisonburg. If we really mean this, look out, Virginia. If we really mean this, look out, world. So God, right now, let over-the-top faith be released in this house. And let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. God, we pray. I pray right now as a prophetic voice to this house. I come with a death certificate and a birth certificate. Let things die that need to die. Let things live that need to live. And I declare that this house is going to a whole nother level, and it will never go back, in Jesus' name. If you agree, give God some praise. Give him a clap. Come on, let him know. Come on, for 10 more seconds.